Good evening. It's a blessing to be here tonight, and I would like you to take your Bibles and turn them to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1, we're going to be dealing specifically just with that last word there in verse 7, but I want us to read that scripture together. And I did want to give a little testimony of love, and I want to just thank you for all reminding me it was my birthday today, that I'm 38 years old and I'm not getting younger. You know, thank you for the love, because I was feeling it this morning. So, no, I'm just teasing. It's been a good morning. It's been a great day. And you know what? One of the things, it was kind of a big surprise. Pastor Rumley came up to me on Wednesday and said, "Hey, would you mind?" My schedule went from busy to like really busy. And I said, "Okay." And I started thinking about it on Thursday or Friday. I said, "Man, what a cool thing to do on your birthday." I mean, do you guys ever think about that? Think about, hey, I could go preaching on my birthday. Maybe it's just a pastor thing, all right? So, all right. Let's read 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7 together. And it says this, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love." Kind of made up a story about a man who was going to a restaurant and he looked at their dessert menu. Are you one of those people that when you go down to the gym down here, the fellowship hall, you know, and we have we call them the fifth Sunday dinners, and what you hit first, you know? And the wise people are the ones who go to the dessert section first, right? And there's certain people doing this, and the man, he does that when he opens the menu and he sees all the wonderful list of desserts. But what he failed to see was that all of the desserts were sugar-free. And so as he finished his meal, he waited for his favorite part and saved the best for last. The waitress brings him a beautiful piece of hot apple pie full of delicious apples, crumbled topping and loaded with a big scoop of ice cream. Am I killing you yet? He couldn't wait to dig in, so he takes a huge bite. Noticing that his dessert lacked a little bit of something, he takes yet another bite. After chewing and savoring the dessert, he waved for the waitress. He tells the waitress that his apple pie does not taste right, and it seems like something is wrong. The waitress then tells him that it is a sugar-free dessert. And you know what? Although we are talking about the last characteristic, please don't take this opportunity tonight to say it's time to zone out. Because the reality is, just like when they took the sugar out of the apple pie, when you take the love out of all the other characteristics here tonight, guess what? You will come up lacking. And so, it only takes one for you to have a funny taste on those you impact. I like what 2 Peter 1:7 says, and I kind of want to think about it like this as... I totally agree with Pastor Rumley here when he says, you know, you take out one and you're lacking. And then there's a thought process that also goes along that has helped me, and hopefully this helps you if you're coming in on this sermon passage or this small series that we've done. But it says this, it starts off in verse 1:5, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." And remember that we talked about that first you have to start off with salvation. And once you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you will then have the desire to pursue those things which are excellent or virtuous. So you can't even start without salvation. You have to have that main impact in your life, Jesus Christ, God, Holy Spirit, the Word of God, all come together. They change your life. And then through that, you sit there and say, "I desire different things. Things that I never thought I would ever desire before." And God looks at those and says, those are virtuous things that you want to read your Bible, that you want to pray, that you want to go to church, that you want to finally hang out with other Christians when you thought that they were weird. Now you think that they're great. And then he says that virtue, he says to virtue knowledge. And through the desire of excellent things, you need guidance. And so what happens is you sit there and say, what do I need to do? And they say, you need to study your Bible. You need to get that knowledge of God's Word into your mind so that you can meditate upon it. And once you meditate upon it, you get to understand and know God and you want to work more like Him. And that's where the verse says, to knowledge, self-control. And as you gain knowledge in the Word, you begin to see that your life is not only about knowing, but it's also living what you know. You begin to see that life is easier said than done. And you begin to take steps to say, I want to live like God. I want to control myself. I want to be like Him. And then you realize that that self-control has to lead to perseverance. And as you're working out self-control, you notice the only true way to see change and victory is to persevere. And so as the Christian, you keep battling for the Lord to the point that your perseverance then leads into godliness. And as you battle for the Lord, you begin to send godliness flow out of your life because you're sitting there saying, I want to stick with it. I want to do good. I want to do these excellent things, and I'm willing to persevere in that. To where the godliness then leads into brotherly kindness. And it's as you grow in godliness, you cherish. You have that word cherish there, brotherly kindness. You can say kindness is to cherish. It is to cherish those in the faith and also for those who do not have God. And so you start to look outside of yourself and you say, you know what? It's not about me. I see God's changing me and I'm excited about it. And it naturally leads me to go into brotherly kindness. And I start to have concern for the widows. I start to have concern for orphans. I start to have concern for that person who is living a very ungodly life. And then to that brotherly kindness, love. Without this last one, your life will not be complete. You got to have it all. And Christian, you have to have love, for if you don't, you will be lacking. It's my goal tonight to help you understand three principles on love. And if you're taking notes, I'm sorry I didn't have time to do a PowerPoint tonight. But I want you to turn to 1 John 4:14 through 21 because this is where I believe a very good passage to use to talk about love. So please turn there. 1 John 4:14 through 21 and we'll read this together. And we'll talk about the three principles that come out of this and then we'll use other passages to support it. 1 John 4:14 says, and as we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. The first thing I want you to understand in this set of verses 14 through 16 is to understand love, you must understand God. I was thankful, I was listening to Pastor Romley as he was praying, and he was exactly leading into what this passage was saying. You have to work hard at understanding God's plan. The apostles understood the overriding plan. It's right in those verses. Father sent the Son. And you know what? There was a specific purpose behind it. He was to be the Savior of the world. And all you have to do is confess your sins and a need for that Savior, and it happens. With the work of the Holy Spirit, power in God's Word, once these things happen, a promise is made. It says right there, God abides in him, or the believer, and the believer will also abide in God. It works both ways. God literally sits there and says, I will not let you go, right? He who started it will finish it. And guess what? Once it's started in you, you're not going to let it go either. It is only through this process that the believer will see and understand love, true love that God has for us. As we understand God more, we will understand what love means. Because if you go to the world and you talk to them about love, guess what? You're going to get 101 definitions. And you're going to have to sit there and your point and walk, and somebody says, well, what does love mean to you? You should simply be able to go to them and say, God is love. That's what love is. And they're going to be like, what? Wait a minute. I don't understand what you mean. What do you mean, God is love? This passage clearly said that God is love. As we live out God more, we will be abiding in Him. And God will be abiding in us. I like what John 13, I was just studying this passage out, and he says, and it's just at the beginning here. Listen to how Jesus and God abide in each other. He says, so when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you. Jesus makes a whole point that you have to have a strong relationship with God. God's will and Jesus' will were synonymous. Did you get that? Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in Him. See, Jesus is glorified, but the only reason that He's really glorified is because He is in such connection with the Father. And because the Father is then glorified, then the Son is then glorified. And they are reciprocal. Although they are the same effect happens because they are so close together. And so the whole point I'm trying to make to you is if you really want to know what love is, you got to know who God is. And it's only through God that knowing Him and understanding Him that people will see true love through you. And as they see true love through you, you will then be able to give it back to God. And it becomes a reciprocal relationship. I like this because he moves into it and he says in verses 34 and 35, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Isn't it amazing that he talks about his relationship with God and then he comes and says, yeah, you know how my relationship with God, you know how close we are, you know how synonymous we are. Now, you love one another. Use my example with my relationship with God. And you do the same. He says, a new commandment I give to you that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. But the whole point is, if your relationship isn't strong with God, if you don't understand who God is, if you don't know who He is, if you're not daily applying God to your life, then that whole point of loving one another is not going to happen. God loves sacrificially. He said that in 1 John 4:9 and 10. He says, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. He not only loved us sacrificially, He loved us relationally. 1 John 3:1 says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Why is there so many different interpretations of what love is? It's because people do not understand God, and therefore, since they don't understand God, they don't have a real definition of what love is. You know, I'd love to come to you and say, love is just the simple one-line answer and it could just change your life. But for you to encompass the wisdom of love, for you to come beside certain people and say, I've got to treat you this way, or I've got to discipline you, or I've got to help you, or I've got to be hard on you, then you need to understand who God is. Because a lot of, you say this to a little child, right? God loves those He, what is it, chastens or disciplines, right? And you look at it, and a kid goes, that's crazy. You spanking me on the rear is love? See, it sounds crazy, but as a Christian, as a mature Christian, we go, yes, and thank the Lord that He does. We want Him to chasten us. We want Him to discipline us because by doing so, we know that He loves us. We should want to love others. 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We should want to move in that direction. It naturally should happen in our life that as we get to know God and understand God, we see how much He reached out to us when we were dead in our sins and trespasses. And yet, what did He do? He sent His only begotten Son to save us on a cross. And we sit there and go, who am I that I am worthy? And so we sit there and we can look at people and go, I want to love that person. They are dead in their trespasses and sin. I want to be that mirror of Christ for them. So the question tonight is, how well do you understand God? Because if you sit there and say, I really don't know God that well, I would exhort you, I'd plead with you to say, get into your Bible. Find someone who is more mature than you in the Scriptures and say, will you study beside me? Will you step beside me? Will you help me? Because I don't have very much love in my life, and I'm beginning to understand that's because I don't know God that well. Read 1 John 4:17 and 18. He says this, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And I think you need to understand this. Not only do you need to understand, to understand love, you must understand God, but to understand love, you will live with boldness and without fear. You may say that you have God, therefore you have love. And as many Christians in here, I'm hoping some of you say, I have love. Because I have God in my life. He's abiding in me, and I am abiding in Him. But the whole point is, how do you know whether it has been perfected? Right? How do you know whether it's been like a finely sharpened tool that you can use for battle, or you can use to help your life? I think the key thing in there, it says, one of the things that says that we will have, if love is perfected in our life, is that we will have boldness in the day of judgment. As we begin to know God, it will lead to boldness in our life. Have you ever did that? Have you ever went evangelizing and somebody says, doesn't it scare you to evangelize? I've heard very mature Christians say this. They go, well, what's the big deal? What's the worst that can happen? Guess what they say? They can kill me? Right? And you go, yeah. The mature person goes, what's the big deal with that? Okay? That just means I'm with my Savior. I'm not worried about death. Death has no control in my life. I don't allow that fear to control me. That's why I have boldness. Because as I've known God, and God has told me that I will spend eternity with Him, that I will be rewarded for sharing my faith, and all these different things happen. You sit there and say, what is there to fear? You naturally become bold. we realize that He can save us, and He chooses not to save us, that we'll be with Him. Just as Jesus Christ prayed, right? Not my will, but Your will be done. He's sitting in there in the garden praying, and He's saying, hey, you know what? It's not about me, God. It's about You. And I know I'm going to die on this cross. It's not that He wanted to go through it. In fact, I don't think He did want to go through it, but He was willing to go through it. And love leads to a boldness because it has no fear. Have you ever asked this question to God? Please take the fear away in my life when it comes to sharing the gospel. As I've studied this passage out, my question is this: should you be asking that question? What do you mean? Is it wrong for me to ask God to take away the fear? No. I would tell you to go the opposite end and ask God to give you a great love for Him. Why don't we pray that? God, give me such a great love that it leads to my boldness. That I want to be bold for You because I have no fear of man. I have no fear of anything in my life except for to share Your gospel with the lost, to encourage saints with the truth. I think this is an easy example, but this is why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were able to take the blazing furnace. Daniel 3:16 through 19, I never get over this story because I look at them and they understood God probably in a way that I don't understand. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'm sorry if that irritates you if I pronounce it that way, answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. They were told that they were supposed to bow down when this music played. And they said, they have no need to answer. You hear the boldness there? They're in front of the king and they're saying, we don't need to even discuss this with you. You know, when the king asks you a question, you better have a good answer for him. He says, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace. And He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. That is an amazing story of boldness. But what is it that they understood about God? We will serve the King. We know who we are being held accounted for. And you know what? You can throw us into that furnace. And our God can choose to save us. Or guess what? We can die or be with Him. But let me tell you something. We're not bowing a knee to any golden image or any other idol that you have. And I sit there and go, wow. Men who did not have the Scriptures that we had were able to come and say, you know what? I have the boldness that everybody wishes that they'd have. I was watching a movie last night and my wife sat down and asked me to watch this movie, and the guy makes a statement that really, really made me think. He said, what could you do, or what could you basically do with 20 seconds of courage? When you have fear, what could you do with 20 seconds of courage? And he uses the example about how he's afraid to talk to this young, beautiful girl, and you know, that's how they met, and then they ended up getting married and having children and those type of things. But let me ask you that question. What would you do with 20 seconds of courage? And you know what? You have eternity of courage in the Word of God that you can go to. And you can take that step out and you can say, I am going to have the love. I am not going to live in fear. I'm going to know God so well that it moves me to a life of boldness. Because that's what love is. It is boldness and it's living without fear. And let me ask you this one last application question. How much are you praying for the love of God? I'll tell you, pastor staying up here, I've never thought about praying for the love of God so that it removes the fear and boldness, or at least gives me more boldness and removes the fear. I've never thought about that. But that is going to change my prayer life. I'm going to say, God, I'm afraid. And show me who You are. Help me understand who You are, because You are love. And that love will give me boldness and it will take away that fear. 1 John 4:19 says this, we love Him because He first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. I think to understand love, you must understand God. I think to understand love, you will live with boldness and without fear. And then to understand love, you will then therefore love others. It's exemplified in the life of Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing? Verse 19 sets it all apart and it says, we love Him. Why? That's right. Because He first loved us. Ponder on that verse a little bit. Think about that verse. Meditate on it. Think about all the different passages that Jesus was a part of. Think about Scripture as a whole and say, you know what? Why should I love others? And think about Jesus' life and go, man, He loved it by doing this, and He loved it by doing this, and He loved it by doing this. And you'll come up with example after example of how He lived this perfect life of love. And He lived in boldness and without fear. I was thinking about a thing that just hit me, kind of slapped me in the face as I was reading through a passage, and it says, let me say this, that if your love for people is little, it may stem from how you view yourself in the reflection of God. If you sit there and go, I really don't have very much love for people, I hope you've never said that. I hope as you've grown in your relationship with God, you've wanted to love people more and more and more. But if you are one of those people, let me kind of give you a verse that has always smacked me around a little bit. And that would be Luke 7:40 through 50. And it says this, and Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave both of them. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Did you get that? She loved Jesus. It says, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And as sometimes in our Christian life, we can go through and look at our life and go, you know what? I'm somewhat a pretty good person. I'm one of those people. I'm constantly praying, God, show me my sin. Show me I'm not a good person. I want to be like the woman. I want to be wiping your feet with my hair. I want to be cleaning your feet with my tears. Why? Because I see that I was a horrible sinner that needed you so bad. And because I needed you so bad, I loved you. I loved you that you forgave me of such great things. I like what he says. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. You imagine how much that, or how good that woman felt when her sins were forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? They've missed the whole point. Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I think it's amazing if we can see ourselves for the wretched sinners that we are. If we can understand how much we truly need a Savior, how much that will impact our love for God. And through impacting our love for God, we will learn to love Him more. And because then we love Him more, it will take away the fear, it will give us boldness, and then it will then result into loving others. Because we can go to other people and say, I'm just another beggar. I'm just a beggar telling another beggar where to get food. I just want to love you. This is the way I want to show you that I love you. You know, and if you have any question about whether we should really be loving everybody around us, Mark 12:31 tells us that we are to be loving our neighbors. Luke 6:21 tells us that we are to be loving our enemies. Romans 4:15 says that you're supposed to be loving your weaker brother. Titus 3:15 tells you that you're to love those in the faith. The question is tonight is, within all the love in your life, do you see it going and flowing into other people? I wonder where the sacrifice is that Pastor Rumley was talking about, the men who used to stand up, and I sit there and I go, how'd those guys do that? I don't know. God gave them the strength. He gave them the endurance. He gave them the perseverance. I don't know how they did that sometimes. We need men who are going to continually do that. We have men in here that do serve. And please don't take it as a way that I'm trying to belittle what is going on here. But I'm always looking at, we're in the community. And my daughter asked me yesterday, Dad, can I get the slip and slide out? Guess what my heart says when she asks for the slip and slide? I'm like, no! No slip and slide. I hate getting that dumb thing out. I got to get it all set up and pull the hose out. And then all the neighborhood kids come over and you start arguing and punching each other and pulling each other's hair out. It's the biggest pain. And I sat there and I thought, yes, I'll get the slip and slide out after the fifth time. All right, she comes and questions me. So we go out, we get the slip and slide out. And then, guess what happens? Here comes the neighborhood. You know, when I hear the Jaws theme song coming out. Boom, boom. You know, and it's just going to get ugly from this point on. You know, and so then I sit there and I go, no. We're going to get the slip and slide out. We're going to do this right. All right? So I realize, you know, under getting one out, my wife says, oh, there's Jaden's slip and slide and there's Abby's slip and slide. And I'm like, why do we have two slip and slides? But I'm like, I don't really care. Just give me Jaden's. So I get Jaden's and I got his set up and I notice there's a downhill and I'm like, all right, let's get this baby set up. So I connect the two slip and slides. And then guess what the kids are doing? They're going berserk. They think it's the greatest thing in the whole wide world. You know, all I say is this. Use those naturals. Show these kids that you love them. They then wanted to throw water balloons. And I'm like, no. The birds are going to choke. I automatically thought of insurance purposes, right? I'm like, but no, we got it out. We threw balloons at each other. They all know that I'm a pastor. For some reason, they call me Pastor Adcock. I don't know where that came from. I've never talked to them about being a pastor. I talk to them about Jesus Christ all the time. Be willing to love others. Be willing to sacrifice yourself. Be willing to open up your doors. I've told my wife I've never wanted a fence in my yard because I've always wanted it where people could come. I don't want to be chained off. I want it where people can come. The neighbor told me on Saturday, she said, "You're the community guy around here." I want to be the community guy. Do you? Do you understand God at such a level that it moves you to love others? Because we have a lot of fears. You know, what about this and what about that and what if this happens and what if that happens? I see kids getting dropped on their head probably on a weekly level. Trust me, they bounce right back up. They're fine. Be willing to take the time to understand God so that you'll love others. And through that, I know you'll have the boldness and you'll live life without fear. And guess what? I believe you'll impact people in more ways that you know. Would you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity. Lord, you are just a great God. You're above all other gods, and Lord, there is none like you. So Lord, may we strive to understand you. And Lord, through that, will you just continue to please work in our lives? Give us the boldness. May we go out without fear, because love is neither of those things. Love is not having fear in our life. It's having boldness. It's going out and it's saying, I want to share the gospel. I want to build relationships. So help us do that, Lord. Because if we do, your word tells us it'll lead to impacting others. Thank you so much for the opportunity to preach. Thank you so much for the ears who are willing to listen. May you bless them tonight and give them safety in their travels. In your holy precious name. I'm going to ask you